Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The article that many of us had read and everybody has an opinion on is Michael Silver's piece out of NFL.com. He joins us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mike, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
We're doing well. Good to talk to you again. So when you first put out that little snippet about, you know, Aaron Rodgers talking about his 11 years of experience and such, and the whole world went nuts. Oh, here we go. Aaron Rodgers, arrogant again. He's going to be a coach killer and all that. And then you read the piece and you kind of think to yourself, you know what? At least from my perspective, I'm going to sit back and wait and see how things happen. So my question to you is this. Give me the vibe when you sat down and you talked with Coach LaFleur and you talked with Aaron Rodgers and you're trying to figure out this dynamic between these two guys. Give me the vibe you got.
You know, it was a super sincere and upbeat vibe on both parts. You know, I know both guys pretty well. They were basic, straightforward questions. And by the way, I didn't put out a snippet. I just talked about it on television and that Twitter machine got cranked up. But that's how it goes sometimes. But you know, Matt, I'm always trying to understand football more because these guys understand it a lot better than I do. So the audible thing came up and, you know, then I ran it by Aaron and then I ran it by Matt again. But, you know, both guys seem very enthusiastic about working one another. I think Aaron recognizes the things that this offense theoretically can do to make his life easier. And, you know, is very respectful of all the success it's had over the years with Kyle Shanahan and others running it. You know, and obviously Matt is, you know, mindful of Aaron's greatness. So they want to make it work. It is not an easy thing to solve, just the audible thing specifically. But I think in general, you know, at least you have two guys who want to talk about it and try to find a happy medium.
I guess the question I have in my head, and this is where I kind of say, let's see how it works out. Because if Aaron audibles or does his own thing and it works, you don't complain a lot. But when things say don't work or don't work numerous times, that's when I think you find out the character of both as to who is either struggling to be an alpha dog in this or what needs to happen or if anything needs to happen. Did you get the sense that either were posturing to say, I want to respect the other's feelings, but this is the way I want to do it?
I mean, I think it's more of an intellectual dispute than some sort of flexing, honestly. I mean, it's philosophical. You know, in this system, they believe that they have answers on every play for the quarterback and that, you know, sometimes they might say, hey, choose between these two based on what you see with specific rules, but, you know, do it our way and it will work. Aaron, I think, rightfully believes that he's got a vast body of work in terms of going up to the line, recognizing things and, you know, understanding how to exploit them. So I think Aaron's point philosophically is, why would you not want that at all? And Matt's point philosophically is, the way the offense works best is to do it this way. You know, I think it will be a compromise. And you're right, if the audibles work, it will go a lot more smoothly. And then there are just practical concerns why it's going to be hard for Aaron to call as many audibles, just because they do so much pre-snap, so much with motion, so much with formation-specific personnel. I think you're going to see times where by the time Aaron can get through all of that and change all of that and allow for it, there may not be that much time left on the play clock. So these are all things that, you know, they're openly discussing and working through. But, you know, I just, you know, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit just having done this for a long time. You know, there's no quarterback with that much experience and that much success who coaches wouldn't want to be heavily invested in the offense and giving their input. And I know Matt feels that way too.
How re-engaged is Aaron Rodgers now that the coaching change has been made, that he's got a new mind to work with, to philosophically challenge and discuss. How engaged does he seem now?
He seems real engaged. And you know, I don't know that he was disengaged. I just think sometimes these partnerships get stale. And there was a lot of tension back and forth with him and Mike. They obviously did a lot of great things. It started to get worse and more stale. And then most important, the team was having less success. And so that's when things tend to get worse, you know, from a mental, emotional standpoint. So, you know, I don't think that he was necessarily as disengaged as is commonly portrayed, but certainly he's been receptive to Matt and what Matt has to offer. And, you know, I think Aaron knows. Aaron's a very, very smart guy. He knows some of the things that this offense can do to make his life better. They should have a balanced running attack with the zone read base scheme. That should set up play action. He should be able to get rid of the ball quickly a lot of times. He should have defenders who are struggling to deal with the misdirection and the motion and the you know, the flow back and forth that you know, this offense can do to defenders. That can mess with them, and I think all of that gives him a chance to you know, thrive and have less pressure on him. So all that's good. And you know, obviously Matt is pumped about working with Aaron Rodgers. And honestly, I promise you there are 31 other NFL head coaches who would feel super blessed if he was their quarterback.
Talking with Mike Silver at the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. So, you know, there's this thought that whenever a rookie head coach comes in, it's very difficult for them to make the postseason, but a lot of them don't come in and inherit Aaron Rodgers or a decent defense and a good defensive mind in Mike Pettine. Outside looking in, I'm always interested in the perspective. Do you feel that this team has re-legitimized itself, picking up a couple of pieces? Adrian Amos in the backside. You've got Smiths on the inside as far as linebackers go on the interior area that can actually maybe pressure a quarterback. They've picked up some guys for depth. They've bolstered their offensive line. Their run game's pretty good. Do you feel this is a playoff team sitting in wait?
I mean, I believe that with Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback, you always have to think that way. And yes, last year revealed some weaknesses, but you know, I thought Mike Pettine gave them a little bit of a jolt, and year two ought to be better. The fact that they were that aggressive early in free agency was a welcome you know, development, and they obviously got guys that they feel like can thrive in his scheme. And you know, Alexander was a revelation as a rookie. I think he'll, you know, be a big-time player in year two. So they have a chance defensively to be better. And then offensively, you know, with this system, theoretically, if they can get balance, they could be really, really good. And I think Devontae Adams has a chance to have maybe an even bigger year, which is pretty big. And they have some plans for Jimmy Graham. So, you know, to me, I would not – you know, I last year I kind of got mocked by some of my NFL Network colleagues as I kept saying, hey, if the Packers get a roll in, they could make a run. And they, you know, basically were like, dude, they're not very good. It's over. But I do think it's a fine line, and I do think they absolutely should be thinking playoffs even in LaFleur's first year.
Yeah, I look at it this way. There's 5-6 plays last year that go their way. And suddenly you're talking about an entirely different scenario for this team. A couple penalties that aren't called, a kick that goes through the uprights, and suddenly you're talking about a team that's going to the postseason, and who knows what can happen. Before I let you go, with the rest of the division, the Bears, we believe, are as good, if not better, than what they were last year. Certainly Minnesota's trying to make a stride forward, and with Kirk Cousins not being a real postseason guy and not getting past 10 wins, I don't know what it's going to take to get them to that point, but do you see this division as being unbelievably competitive or, you know, kind of above average but, you know, below the echelon of greatness when it comes to the NFC?
I don't know that I buy that the Bears are better than last year. I think Vic Fangio did an incredible job as a coordinator. They've replaced them with Chuck Pagano, who has done some good things in the past, but it's going to be different. And they do have a lot of elite players on that side of the ball, but I'm not super convinced that we're dealing with a juggernaut. They also have, you know, there's a little bit of chest puffing coming out of there that I don't know how to interpret, but they think they're good. You know, the Vikings obviously were very, very good two seasons ago. Last year was a big disappointment. They think they fixed the offensive line. And obviously, as you mentioned, Cousins needs to be, you know, transcended for that type of cap commitment guarantees rather than, you know, just what he's been. So, and, you know, in Detroit, we'll see, was not a great rookie season for Matt Patricia. We'll see if they've managed to improve things. But, you know, to me, it's there for the taking. Obviously, you got to respect what the Bears did last year and the Vikings did the year before. But Cousins, Trubisky, Rodgers, I'm taking Rodgers. I know it's only one position, but I think it's a pretty important one.
Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We always love having you down at Super Bowl. Thanks for joining us again today. Good stuff. Keep up the good writing, and we'll watch you on the NFL Network, okay?
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, pal. Talk to you soon. Mike Silver at the NFL Network joining us for a couple of minutes. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Silver. And an interesting perspective, a little bit of maybe a calming influence for Packers fans that were leaning really hard one way or the other. Maybe it's just kind of like I was saying, you kind of wait and see. You want to see this thing play out. But it's more factually and philosophically interjecting minds and intellects at this point than it is chest puffing, as he said. Even though he believes there's some of that going on down in Chicago. So, well, there you have it. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing this. So if you want to be part of a terrific team, check out our friends over at Schneider, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.